Welcome to the Irish Nurses in the NHS podcast series. 2023 marked the 75th anniversary of Britain's National Health Service. Since its inception in 1948, there was huge demand for nurses as the new health service was being rolled out across the country, particularly during the 1950s.
You know, we went out for a day to the seaside. I think there was a trip out and we went to the seaside. And, you know, there's landladies with vacancies and things. And, you know, on the doors there's no blacks, no Irish, no dogs.
So you actually saw that?
Oh, I've seen it. But they said no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And I remember saying to people, why are they saying that?
While I was there, the insurance man came to visit, collecting the insurance money. And he said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm nursing. And he said, oh, how's it going? She said, well, I'm sharing a room with an Irish girl. And he said, oh, is she a clean one? That just stopped me in my tracks.
But there was also the fact, the association with the fact you were Irish. All the Irish over there were, you know, bombers, and you never knew what they were going to do next.
The active recruitment campaign launched by the NHS in Ireland attracted tens of thousands of young Irish women and men, with the offer of free training, accommodation, and the chance to earn a wage during their nurse training.
You'll remember the Enniskillen bombings. And they happened on the Sunday, as you know. And on the Monday morning, I was going in to do the general care on this lady. And I came in and her son-in-law was there and he wasn't working. And I knew that he wasn't a nice man from some of the things the mother-in-law had been saying to me. Anyhow, I came in the door and I said, good morning, whatever, how are you all, blah, blah. And immediately he started on to me. So what have you to say for yourself? Your lot did yesterday. That was blah, 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 blah. And he stood and he shouted at me.
When the IRA started their campaign, we got a lot of bad vibes from people. And like, if you were going somewhere, they would take your bag. Now, everybody else would go like that. And then they'd take ours and they'd empty everything out, you know. And yeah, it was bad. And like, some of the patients would make comments. I mean, they wouldn't get away with it now, you know. So you haven't got a bomb in there, have you? And all that kind of.
I do remember a male patient saying that his son was in Belfast fighting us lot. And he'd rather... he wasn't attended to by an Irish, I do remember.
In this episode, we hear the first-hand accounts and negative experiences faced by the nurses as Irish migrants in Britain, and especially at the height of the Northern Ireland Troubles. Bernie was only a few months into her nurse training in the early 1960s when she became the target of comments from the patients she was caring for.
I mean, the only other time that I felt that my Irishness was used as a figure of criticism, shall we say, was, you know, sort of in the ward. And I can remember, and there's a couple of rather large EastEnders in a bed or that, and going round with the tea trolley, and they were very loud anyway, and you know, sort of whistling at each other, and says, here comes the Pikey Brigade.
The Pikey Brigade.
Pikey Brigade, yeah. And I mean, I had again, you know, sort of coming from you know, sort of really selected, you know, sort of Irish you know, community, you know, reasonably, you know, sort of, we may not have been all that rich, but we were respectable and we were, you know, sort of honest people are that. I'd never even heard the word Pikey. I didn't even know what Pikey was. So this was, I mean, you know, I afterwards certainly remember that, you know, sort of, that was a form of criticism. They would have thought it was a joke, but I didn't quite understand.
Bernie was only 18 years old at the time of the incident inside the hospital setting. There were other moments later in her career when she was working as a district nurse in the Midlands during the 1970s. This time, she was more circumspect about her Irishness.
So it was certainly a period when, you know, we were singled out. It doesn't matter whether you're a nurse or that. I mean, the patients were always very grateful to you, Eartha. But there was the caring part of you, what they were doing, and they would be very grateful to you. But there was also the fact, the association with the fact you were Irish. All the Irish over there were, you know, bombers, and you never knew what they were going to do next. There was certainly a period of, I wouldn't call it peace, but it was certainly not comfortable, you know, sort of having an Irish accent there.
Further north in Liverpool, John, whom we met in episode 3, recalled that he was often addressed by a pejorative term instead of by his own name, reminding us that the culture of anti-Irish stereotyping pervaded the social fabric of society.
Well, it was strange at first, and my accent, people were... What did you say, Paddy? Everybody called you Paddy then. No, but they did. It's no good protesting. That was the way it was. You know,
In a way, John was resigned to the prospect of being addressed in this way, and he wasn't going to fight it.
I don't think the Irish ever had any resentment. They used to call me Irish, but it didn't make any difference. You know, but then I felt it was endearing kind of way.
Noreen came over to Britain in 1961. She didn't take umbrage to being addressed as Irish instead of by her name. Indeed, she found it rather charming.
You'd go in... When you were in the operating theatre, say, you'd go in on a Monday, or you'd be in there, you know, the consultant would come in and say, "Good morning, Irish, have a nice weekend," or something.
He'd call you Irish.
Yes, I know, but I can't ever remember it offending me.
And then you were obviously there as well in the NHS during the times of the Troubles. Did that impact you at all in any way
at all? Not, I can never remember anybody saying anything nasty to me or about the art. It was just kept separate. That's what I always felt.
But something was troubling her. Taking a deep breath, Noreen recalls how she stumbled across a sign on a bed and breakfast during a trip to the English seaside. An encounter that she'd felt somewhat unsure about sharing with us.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and my family said to me, "Oh, don't repeat that, Mum." The first time I went to the seaside when I came over here, you know, we went out for a day to the seaside. I think there was a trip out, and we went to the seaside. And, you know, there's landladies with vacancies and things. And, you know, on the doors there's no blacks, no Irish, no dogs.
So you actually saw that?
Oh, I've seen it. But they said no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And I remember saying to people, "Why are they saying that?" Sort of in my brain, I'm thinking, God, they've been over in Ireland recruiting us to staff their hospitals, and here I couldn't even stay in somebody's house if I wanted to. I mean, I literally wouldn't have been able to stay. It said no blacks, no... Well, I think that's well known, isn't it?
It is well known.
That's well known. I've seen it. Yeah. Down in South... I remember going, and I remember saying, "Why are they saying that about the Irish?"
Perceptions of Irishness differed depending on the context of the incident, who made the remark, and its implication on the person it's aimed at. This is Marion's story.
And I had the patient and I was to take him up. And before, it was only 8 o'clock when we had just handed over. And in he comes, the door's open, and he goes, "Why isn't this patient upstairs?" And I said, I'll be up in a minute. "What do you mean up in a minute?" I said, "Have I been up there?" I said, "I'll be up in a minute." I said, "I need to disconnect, reconnect them on portable batteries." I said, "And I'll be up in a minute." "Oh, you stupid Irish woman, what would you know?" And I said to him, "Doctor, an old boy like you, heart attacks, palpitations, and all that sort of stuff. I said, it's bad for you. I said, now will you go away? Leave me alone." And I said, "I'll be up after you." And I could not believe it. He turned on his foot and went. But I think it was about challenge at that time, about how you challenge them. And I wasn't rude to him or anything.
The patients had a different perception of her as an Irish nurse.
I felt that a lot of them loved, the patients in particular, loved to be looked after by the Irish nurses because they felt they were kind and caring and compassionate.
If there was any perceived hostile behaviour, the Irish nurses could support each other, particularly within the hospital setting.
But on the day-to-day sort of work in front, I never found that I had any issues with people generally. And I think that was probably because it was a huge collection of Irish nurses and students that we could support ourselves.
When she was off duty, away from the relative security of the hospital and other Irish nurse colleagues, it was a different story, especially when the bombs went off.
So saying that, but do you think that people had a particular view of Irish nurses, Irish people in general?
No, I think that, obviously the 70s was, 75 was a bad year because of the Birmingham bombings and that. And, I mean, the things that were off-putting during that period is I remember walking up and I went in, I thought, I'll get a bar of chocolate or something. And on the door was written, no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. And I thought,
on the door of a shop?
Yeah. And that was the first time I thought, ooh. And you're sort of taken aback. But I never felt that anyone was downright nasty to me because I was Irish, and even though particularly 1975 was quite tough with the Birmingham bombings and that, no one ever really took a swipe that I felt was a snide remark that I was Irish or there was anything wrong with me.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you about that, the wider impact on the political situation, really. Mm. So the Birmingham bombings were 1974, weren't they?
75.
Yeah, and then 1979, Mountbatten.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was no...
No, I never...
Come back at all.
No, I
like
never... I didn't ever hear any snide... They may have been made out of my earshot, but I never was privy to anyone saying anything really nasty about, you know, the Irish or that this or they should go home or anything like that. I never heard anything like that. It doesn't mean to say that I'm sure there's an element. And that's why I think I have a sort of an empathy for the Muslims now, because I view them in the same situation as I was in the 70s. Because I didn't do anything wrong, but yes, you can imagine people, they hear your accent and they think, oh, she must be one of them. That's what I think now, you know, when they say, oh, the Muslims, they've got their hair and that. So I do have a sort of a empathy for them, because I can equate to what I felt, because I felt myself, God, I wonder what people really think of us, being Irish and living over here. And are they just not saying anything to our face, but it's all, you know, sort of happening behind our back? And I'm not sure if that was the case, but thankfully I never got any prodding or never was sort of faced with it.
Okay, yeah, it's fair enough, really. Mm. Can I come back to the shop?
Yeah.
So you go into the shop to buy a bar of chocolate and there's a note on the door says no dogs, no blacks, no Irish.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
How did you feel? What, did you say anything? Did you go in?
No, I didn't go in.
You didn't go in?
No, I didn't. I thought, if you're that rude, you don't deserve business. Mm. And to this day, I still see it. It was a little shop on the side. It was only a sort of a single door frontage. And I just thought, you're just ignorant, was the way I felt about it.
Did you say it to anybody?
No. I mean, I said it to my sister. I got there. I said, that's a rude... A rude note that they put up, and I thought that wasn't very nice. And I thought I said I would never go in there again, and I wouldn't, and I didn't. But that was the only time where you could blatantly see that. That was the only time where I thought, "Whoa!" So people are noticing things: the black, the dogs, and the Irish, or three persona non grata. Well, not the dog persona, whatever. But you know, you sort of, you feel you are down on dog level. Yeah, but I mean, and when you think about it, I mean, that is not that long ago.
So that was in the mid-70s?
Yeah, 75.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, not that long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I did look and I said, oh my God, but yeah, there's no dogs, no black, no Irish. Mm. But I did say to some of them, I said, and they said, oh, well, I wouldn't go in there. And I thought, I said, I didn't go in and I wouldn't go in. Because, I mean, I suppose the thing about it is, you know, looking back, there was probably a fear. If I did go in and they turned on me, would I be able to defend myself? I probably wouldn't, because it's very difficult to defend yourself if if Birmingham bombs have gone and a couple of years later Mountbatten is killed and you think, oh my Lord, you know, where has all this gone so awry? So I think I from my own self, I think I avoided direct confrontation, because I could have gone and say, you ignorant man, you know, what sort of a note is this? Or pull it off the door, which is probably what I might be more tempted to do now that I feel much more established. I just pull it off the door. But then you were sort of the newbie. You hadn't even learned how to go, probably another street if you had to run.
D'Urville was also newly arrived in Britain when she was the target of anti-Irish prejudice. This incident happened outside of the hospital. She takes up the story here.
But the hospital itself, there were loads of nationalities. You know, we had a really big mix of nationalities. Well, there was a lot of Irish sisters there, so we were fine. But she was the only other white girl. She invited me to go home with her. She lived in somewhere northeast of London. And that was when I first realised there was a lot of discrimination still about the Irish. Because while I was there, the insurance man came to visit, collecting the insurance money. And he said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm nursing. And he said, oh, how's it going? She said, well, I'm sharing a room with an Irish girl. And he said, oh, is she a clean one? That just stopped me in my tracks, because I never really, you know, I never thought of... And she looked so embarrassed, and so did her family, but nobody said, you know, that I was the one. So we all just sat there in horrified silence, I think, you know. But then I sort of, when I went up to London, we used to go up to London, you know, to go to the markets and things like that and shows. Then I started realising that around Paddington, there was a lot of signs on the windows of lodging houses saying, no gypsies, no blacks, no Irish and no dogs. So I mean, then it suddenly, you know, it was an eye-opener, really, you know, a shock to the system. Because, of course, there wasn't any of that at all in the hospital. It was just the general atmosphere outside.
When Breda went to work in the district, her Irish identity became something of a marker. Not only was she working on her own in the community setting, but there was none of the backup support from other Irish colleagues that had been on hand inside the hospital.
And I only had one, and I just now think back, I only had one lady who rang up and said, I don't want the Irish nurse anymore. But only because she always got really sore, pressure sores in her heels, but she used to wear the most tiny little slippers with tiny little heels. You know, I'm not that tolerant. And after a while, you think, the reason you're in this situation is you just need to get a proper pair of slippers. So when I went back one day, when the admin staff were laughing, they said, oh, we've just had a phone call. They don't want the Irish nurse anymore.
But not because you were Irish.
No, I don't think it was anything to do with Irish. I had a few comments. Maybe she had a few issues with me, but I think maybe...
Oh, she had made comments, had she?
She had made comments, you know, about the Irish nurses working. But
what did she say about the Irish
nurses? I can't remember,
really.
She just said about the Irish coming over, taking over. Isn't there any decent English nurses? Maybe she said to me one day, but I still like over my head. And when she rang and said, I'm not having her anymore, but we decided. I think they just rang her and said, you haven't got a choice, basically. That's how it works. It was just because I was nagging her over her precious slippers. So I think the sister just went in for a visit, and then she said to me, Toff, you've got to go back in because you're the only one on.
So you had to go back in?
Yeah.
And it was okay?
Yeah, she was fine. She wasn't, probably didn't look happy, but what can you do? You got no choice. Sounds bad, I suppose. On her part, when you look at it, I suppose. But on the other hand, she didn't have a choice of another nurse. We used to have the odd one, because it's quite a rural community out there.
By the 1980s and into the early 1990s, tension between the two countries was reaching boiling point. Bombs were causing maximum destruction and devastating loss of life. Although the Enniskillen bombing took place in Northern Ireland rather than in Britain, the impact was felt very powerfully by Betty, a district nurse who was doing her rounds in the community in Scotland at that time. She remembers that November day in 1987.
I was out on district here in Johnston up the road, and it was an elderly lady, and I was going in to do a general nursing care. I don't know whether you'll remember the Enniskillen bombings. And they happened on the Sunday, as you know. And on the Monday morning, I was going in to do the general care on this lady. And I came in, and her son-in-law was there, and he wasn't working. And I knew that he wasn't a nice man from some of the things the mother-in-law had been saying to me. Anyhow, I came in the door, and I said, good morning, whatever. How are you all? Blah, blah. And immediately, he started on to me. So what have you to say for yourself? Your lot did yesterday. That was blah, 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 blah. And he stood and he shouted at me. And to be honest, I didn't know what to do. So I let him rant on and I said, look, it's got nothing to do with me. Yeah, well, you're Irish. You're a Catholic. I said, you don't know what I am. Yes, I'm Irish, but you don't know anything more about me. Well, you're still Irish and you're here. You've got cheek to put your face in here. So he went on like that to me. His daughter by this time was in tears. So I just said to him, will you excuse me a moment? And I said to her, come on and we'll go up and do your mum. I went upstairs. I got her mother fixed, got her mum, gave her a hug, gave the daughter a hug, came downstairs and I just said, excuse me. And I walked out and I went straight to my boss and explained to her. And I didn't retaliate in any way, because it would have made matters worse. So that, I forgot about that. That's probably the only incident that I ever had that turned against me. But I went back to the house the next day because she was on my list, and he always walked out of the room whenever I walked in, which was fine.
Geraldine had a similar experience to Betty while caring for a patient when another bomb went off, this time in London.
When the IRA started their campaign, we got a lot of bad vibes from people. And like, if you were going somewhere, they would take your bag. Now, everybody else would go like that, and then they'd take ours and they'd empty everything out, you know. And yeah, it was bad. And like, some of the patients would make comments. I mean, they wouldn't get away with it now, you know. So you haven't got a bomb in there, have you, and all that kind of, you know. And I wouldn't mind, like, if we were nurses, we're not into maiming people. But they thought because you were Irish that you were, you know, kind of the same as, you know, the IRA and all that kind of thing.
Easy.
No, it wasn't easy. Even in the 80s when I worked in the district, it was the Harrods bombing. I used to do 6 to 10, 3 evenings a week. All the other girls, Phil worked there, and we all worked there. Because I went in to put this man to bed. I've been going in there like for, you know, about 4 years. And I went in and he said, that was a nice job you did today. So he said, I don't want you, he said. I don't want not having you near me, he said. You're dangerous. So the next day, we didn't have pages in those days. I rang the manager and she said, right, we're withdrawing the service from him.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was embarrassed, but that was what it was like then. You know, it was ignorance, really.
Mm-hmm. Your manager supported you, which was good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Anne remembered an incident related to the bombing in Woolwich, which was located near the hospital where she worked.
I do remember a male patient saying that his son was in Belfast fighting us lot, and he'd rather he wasn't attended to by an Irish. I do remember. And I remember that vividly because it was probably a one-off, I think.
Anne went on to reflect that Irish nurses never received any kind of training from the NHS about how to deal with such situations.
We were never taught how to behave. We were never taught how to react, how to keep your mouth shut, how to not, you know, have... We didn't ever, ever have any talk about that sort of thing. We were just... You just got on with it.
It's a sign of the times that nurses were expected to cope with such explicit hostility from patients without receiving any support, training or guidance from the hospital authorities.
But we didn't get offended by it or anything like that.
It's apparent that Irish nurses often had challenging experiences, especially at the time of bombings. But they maintained consummate professionalism. Rosemary from Longford explains how she sought to deal with these difficult encounters.
But in general, I think we were treated very well. Yeah, on a personal, I mean, if you're nice to people, they will be nice back to you. And I think politeness goes a long way, really. And I think, you know, what you give, you get back. That's what I think.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 9 of the Irish Nurses in the NHS podcast series. The Irish Nurses in the NHS podcast series is produced and presented by Gráinne MacPolan and Louise Ryan, in association with the Department of Foreign Affairs, Irish Abroad Unit, and the London Irish Centre. In the next episode, we will hear the stories about marriage and family life, and how the nurses built their lives in Britain over time. We would like to thank the nurses who contributed to the making of this podcast. Thank you.